When Sukadeva Goswami says manmatha, these are not just ordinary words. They are also transcendental, and to vision them with a mundane vision is so offensive, it would lead to our downfall. So Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking here by saying, Bhagavan api ta ratri. Bhagavan api ta ratrihi sharadotfulla mallikaha viksharantam manaschakre yoga mayam upashritaha. Bhagavan api ta ratri, meaning Lord Krishna once saw Sharad Ratri. How was the Sharad Ratri? Full of malati flowers. And seeing those nights, he manifested his yogamaya shakti and desired to enjoy. Enjoy means raman. Raman means enjoy, sorry. Why? Why did he desire to enjoy? Lord Krishna desired to enjoy. Why? Now let us look into this very deeply. Lord Krishna desired to enjoy. Why? Because he saw the night filled with malati flowers blooming. So he decided to enjoy. Manaschakre. Manaschakre means he decided. Not that he thought or he desired or he was starting to desire. Desire was long back. Desire was there long back, but now he has decided. The word Bhagavan is used here. Why? Who is Bhagavan? Shastra says Bhagavan is the one who is Shad Aishwarya Purna, one who is full with all the six opulences in the fullest. In Vishnu Puran, it is said that Bhagavan is one who is full in all these six opulences. And what are the six opulences? They are, he is full in strength, he is full in fame, in knowledge, in wealth, beauty and renunciation. Now, he is full in renunciation, which means he is full in vairagya also. Vairagya or renunciation means detached. So, when he is full in vairagya or when he is full in renunciation, he can never desire to enjoy with anyone. Can the sun ever go and ask for light or lamp from anyone? The sun is full in light, isn't it? Will the sun enjoy light from anyone else? The one who gives light to billions of universes, can he ever ask for lamp from anyone else? Similarly, one who is full in bliss and full of vairagya or renunciation, can such a person ever think of touching a woman, dancing with her and enjoying with her? Not possible. But still, that Bhagavan also desired this on this night. Now Krishna is free of all kaam. Still he desired. What does this mean? This is because the gopis were desiring from long time to get rid of their homely affairs and be with Krishna, meet Krishna and spend their time with Krishna. This is very natural for any living being because every living entity is by nature Krishna Das. Jivera Swarupa Hoi Nitya Krishna Das. So Krishna decided to enjoy with his own personal associates. Why did Krishna decide to enjoy? Because the gopis desired this and they have been desiring this from a very, very long time. So he decided to enjoy, but he is enjoying not with any other woman, but he is enjoying with his own personal associates. These gopis are his own shaktis. They are not swakiya. They are neither swakiya nor parakiya. In Krishna's leelas, there is no swakiya and parakiya, but their bhav is parakiya. There is a lot of difference in bhav and object. Gopis are not parakiya. Their bhav is parakiya. They did not want to be at home. They, every moment at home, away from Krishna, was like a kalp. Kalp means thousand yugas to meet Krishna. Even one moment if they would get, they would go and meet him, serve him, massage his feet, make garlands for him, fan him. In this way they used to spend every moment in his service. They used to think of him and lament that his feet are getting hurt by stones while he's grazing the cows. They could never even in their dreams think of their own sukh and their own dukkh. Only one desire they had was to leave everything and just be with Krishna and give him all sorts of pleasure in all ways. This is called Rantam or Raman. So the gopis wished this from long back. But today, Lord Krishna himself too decided. So now, Krishna, that is Bhagavan Api, Bhagavan also decided. Remember, this is Bhagavan's Leela, this Rasa Leela. So this word Bhagavan is used. It is not an ordinary mundane Leela. Krishna saw those knights. It is said here, Krishna saw those knights. He did this Leela not just for one night, but in that one night, he enclosed millions of knights. As would be mentioned in the end of this Leela, that just in one line, one night, millions of knights were embedded. Just like Krishna looks small, but within him, millions of universes are there. Similarly, in just one night, he brought together unlimited knights. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says, Taratri, those knights. Now, what was his position? It is being mentioned here, Yoga Maya Upashritaha. Yoga is Swarup, Maya is Shakti. So, Swarup Shakti. His Chitta Shakti. His external Shakti is called Bahiranga Shakti, which is identical to his nature. Because he is full of Satchitananda. But Bahiranga Shakti is not Chinmaya. He controls all the conditioned souls with this Bahiranga Shakti. And this Bahiranga Shakti controls all the desires of the living entities too. But the Lord, under his Swarup Shakti, he has three Swarup Shaktis. One is the Jeev Shakti, the Maya Shakti. He has three Shaktis, sorry, the Swarup Shakti, the Jeeva Shakti and the Maya Shakti. Swarup Shakti is his internal potency, that is the Yoga Maya. Not that he took shelter of Yoga Maya, rather Yoga Maya is under his shelter. Can anyone say that the sun took shelter of the sun rays? No, it only means that the sun has manifested its rays. Similarly, when it is said here that he took shelter of Yoga Maya Upashritaha, it means that it does not mean that he took shelter of Yoga Maya, rather it only means that he simply manifested his Yoga Maya. So this word Yoga Maya is very deep. Living entities are all under the control of his Bahiranga Shakti, that is the Mahamaya. The living entity is very small, enclosed in temporary bodies. Such a living entity, who is controlled by Maya, how can he understand that Lord who is the controller of Maya? So these words show that Rasleela is not an ordinary affair. It is a divine Leela. Readers of Bhagavatam will definitely understand this. One who is foolish cannot be taught even by Lord Brahma, the one who is the giver of all the Vedas. A foolish person is one who has turned his face against Krishna. There is a phrase in India which means that even if the clouds shower nectar, the bamboo tree will never produce fruits and flowers. Similarly, a foolish person in his heart, he can never have knowledge even if Lord Brahma teaches him with all his four heads. So we should understand who is Krishna. Then we can understand his Leela. What is so great in him that such great souls like Shankaracharya, Madhavacharya, they are all running after him. They are all engrossed in him. Why? An ordinary Gopa boy dancing with all girls. What is there in him about such a person? So, what is there that Sukadev Goswami is going to talk about such a person on the banks of Ganga? Actually, these gopis are never separate from Krishna. Krishna did Ras with his own expansions. Just like a boy plays with his own image in front of the mirror, he tries to touch that mirror, he tries to speak to the mirror, he smiles, he plays with the mirror, etc. Sorry, mirror image. I'm sorry. He plays, he tries to touch that image, he tries to play with that image, he speaks with that image, which is his own image in front of the mirror. Similarly, Krishna is playing with his own Swarup Shakti, not with other women. He cannot become bewildered by other women. He gets bewildered by his own self. So such a Lord desired to enjoy with his dear ones. And the amount of bliss that he is full in, do you think he needs more bliss from anyone else? No. That is why these great souls get so much of bliss that they are fully engrossed in him. That is why these great souls like Shankaracharya, Madhavacharya, they are all running after him. They are all engrossed in him because they derive so much of bliss from him. Here it is mentioned, Sharad Kalina Ratri. All these Mallika flowers, the night, the moon, etc., they are all creating Uddipan in Bhagavan's Bhav. Rupa Goswami Pad talks of two vibhavs, Uddipan Vibhav and Alamban Vibhav. Uddipan Vibhav is doing all those acts which arouse the bhav, like smiling, looking, glancing, etc. And Alamban Vibhav is again of two. One is Vishayalamban, that is for whom the bhav is. And second is Ashrayalamban, from whom the bhav is. Now here Krishna is Vishayalamban and gopis are Ashrayalamban. So these nights, the breeze, the flowers, the fragrance, etc., created Uddipan in his bhav, in Krishna's bhav. By seeing the nights, Krishna decided to see the gopis and dance with them. In this way, the nights created the Uddipan bhav. So in this way, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the ingredients or the paraphernalia of the Rasa Leela. So now, here the night is being described. Sharad Ratri and Mallika flowers are blooming in Sharad Ratri. Actually, Mallika does not bloom during Sharad season. So if Mallika has also bloomed, then what to speak of other flowers? That means many types of flowers have bloomed. Even those who bloom in the day have bloomed in the night. So many types of flowers and such sweet soft wind was flowing. This shows that during this Sharad time, even spring season, Vasanta season, has manifested. Flowers blossomed, sweet fragrant wind was flowing, and the bumblebees were humming. And by seeing such a night, he decided to enjoy with the gopis. Now let's go back to the shloka and let's look into the translation once again. Translation given by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences. Yet, upon seeing those autumn nights, scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind towards loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. So every word is so deep and important. All the people assembled there were such elevated souls, they could understand all these deep meanings. So we have to raise ourselves to understand all this in order to understand this transcendental night. So Bhagavan saw Iksha. He saw. His seeing is not like our seeing. His seeing, Iksha, means he created all these Uddipan ingredients by seeing. All these got created by his seeing. He created this transcendental night. No ordinary knights can take part in Krishna's leelas. Everything in this world is made by the material nature. But for the Lord to dance, he has to manifest his yoga maya and everything has to be transcendental. He created the night, decorated it, and then called upon his own swaroops and decided to enjoy with them. Then Sukadeva Goswami talks of the moon. Now this moon is not the ordinary moon. For example, the devatas, that is the demigods, will never get themselves adorned with even the most beautiful items made by man. The devatas, the demigods' ways, their style, their talks are all totally different from human beings. Their viman, that is the plane which they use, will not run by our petrol. So if this is the standard of the devatas with the humans, then how much will be the standard of the Supreme Lord? So it is the duty of all of us sadhakas to understand that this Sharad Ratri is the transcendental night. All these nights, the moon, everything, they are not the ordinary mundane night or the mundane moon. They are all transcendental. Next, Sukadeva Goswami in the next shloka describes about the rising of the moon. Because in the Rasa Leela, it is a moon which does the act of the lamp. So now that is being described.
Tado durajaha kakubha karair mukham prachya vilimpan arunena santamai sachar sunina mudga chucha mrijan priyaha priyaya ivadirga darshanaha.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The moon then rose, anointing the face of the eastern horizon with the reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watched him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kunkuma. Now the in Rasa Leela, the moon was performing the duty of the lamp. The light was cooling and it appeared like day. When the Lord desired, immediately the moon rose. Tada. This moon was not the ordinary mundane moon which rises every day. Please keep that in mind. This is that moon which rose by the power of the desire of the Lord, by the sankalpa of the Lord, and it is a part of His Leela. Ordinary moon cannot take part. So such a moon, transcendental moon, rose. Now the rising of the moon has anointed the face of the eastern horizon with a reddish tinge due to its rays. He's explaining this. Sukadeva Goswami is giving an analogy here, explaining this with an analogy here. Here the analogy is given of a dear one who has not seen his lover for a long period. Now when a husband meets a wife after a long period of departure, when he sees his wife, out of happiness, he massages the face of his beloved wife and he applies a paste of kumkum on her face. This he does to please her, and her face thus becomes reddish. Similarly, the moon is making the eastern horizon red in color by its rising. When the moon rises, there is always a reddish hue on the eastern horizon. The same happens when the sun rises too. The eastern horizon is now considered to be like the wife of Indra. Not that it is Indra's wife, but that Indra is the lord of the eastern horizon. So here Sukadeva Goswami is describing the whole scenario in a very poetic way. Because externally, it appears that Lord Krishna is also going to dance with others' wives. Though they are not others' wives, they are his own Swarup Shaktis. We have to remember this and keep in mind that he is dancing with his own Swarup Shaktis. But externally it appears that he is going to dance with others' wives. So the moon also appears to be anointing the face of another's wife, that is, whose lord is Indra, with a reddish color. So he is giving this poetic simile. Though this is the case between husband and wife, here it is not husband and wife. Indra, being the lord of the eastern horizon, is termed as the husband, not that he is the husband. Now the word kareir means the rays of the moon. Arunena means reddish. This is the description of the Shringar Ras. Priyaha priyaya iva tirka darshanaha. After a long time of separation, the priya is having the darshan of his priyaya. The example here about the eastern horizon being reddened means that the Lord has given rise to the moon rise. The Lord has given rise to the moon rise. So, by the Lord's desire, the moon rose. This is also an ingredient of the Uddipan. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is very boldly describing this. Then he mentions Tadoturajaha, means that when the Lord desired, then the moon rose. And earlier it was described that, first in the early shloka it was described that the Bhagavan api ta ratri, that means the Lord saw those nights. He saw, then he desired. The moon that rose was a full moon. So it was a Purnima night. That is called the Sharad Purnima Ratri. Now, first, actually, in reality, if you see, first there has to be a moon rise and then only the night comes. Not that the night comes first and then the moon comes. But on Purnima nights, this happens simultaneously. Both the moon rise and the night appearing, it is simultaneous. But here, if you see, it is Sharad Ratri, that is Purnima night. But here the first description said is that the Lord saw the nights. So, first the Lord saw the night is mentioned. Second, the moon rise is being mentioned. So, this is a proof that he saw the nights and then he decided to create. And that is how the moon rose. Out of his desire, he created the moon. Okay, so that means he first foresaw that such and such should be the night and this should happen. Then he allowed the moon to rise. So we can see how everything is happening under the direction of the Lord. So nothing in this Leela is mundane. Nothing is material, nothing is mundane. The wind, the moon, the ground, the atmosphere, everything is transcendental. The ground where he played his Leela, the time, the paraphernalias, all are chinmaya, all are transcendental. And actually, all these were the swaroop of the Lord. So, it is the sadhaka's duty to uplift the mind from this mundane plane to the completely transcendental plane. This can be done only by a sadhaka. Normal materialistic people cannot do this. So those who do bhajan, nam smaran, darshan, and listen to the topics of the Lord alone can elevate their mind to this transcendental plane. In Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who are engaged in avyabhicharanya bhakti, that is unadulterated devotion unto the Lord, he is filled with all the good qualities. That person whose mind is fully absorbed in the transcendental qualities alone can take full advantage of this Rasalila, and he alone can understand. But whatever it may be, by doing the Shravanam Kirtanam of the Rasalila, it is possible to achieve this. This is the only means for perfection. Now, in the next shloka, this Sukadeva Goswami is going to describe the bhav that has come up in the mind of the Lord. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the full moon glowing with the red effulgence of newly applied vermilion, as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence, and the forest gently illumined by its rays. Thus, the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute. Attracting the minds of the beautiful eyed gopis. Lord Krishna looked at the moon very carefully. Vishwanath Chakraparthipad is saying that at that time Krishna had just returned from the Leela of grazing of the cows. He had had his bath. He had got dressed up by Mother Yashoda, and he had had his dinner. And then from the moon tower, he went up to the moon tower and he saw the moon rise. This is what is being described. As soon as he saw the moon rise, he immediately took permission from his mother to go out and play with his friends. Then comes this description. Now this is his daily routine. At times he is with the gopis, at times he is with the gopas, at times with his parents. He is Yogeshwareshwara, so at any time he can go anywhere. So now he went into the forest. He saw the night. He saw the moon rise and went to the forest, and then the Lord sang, meaning he sang on the flute. Here it is not mentioned, it will be mentioned in the next shloka that he sang on the flute. That means he played the flute. Now, how was the moon? It is mentioned here, Akhanda Mandalam. The disk of the moon was unbroken. Akhanda Mandalam means unbroken disk. This happens only on the Purnima night. This means that the moon was full. That means it was a full moon night. So this shows it was the Purnima night. Akhanda Mandalam also proves that this was not the ordinary mundane moon, because in reality the moon is Khanda Mandal. Khanda Mandal means broken disk, because the moon has some dark spots on it. But this moon was Akhanda Mandalam. So this shows that this moon is not the ordinary mundane moon. This is the transcendental moon, arisen by the desire of the Supreme Lord. Next, you should look at the word Ramananabham. How beautiful was the moon? It looked as beautiful as the face of Rama. Rama is the name of Lakshmi Devi. This means that the Lord, Rama also stands for Srimati Radharani. So this means that the Lord remembered the face of Srimati Radharani. The moon was so beautiful that it reminded him of Srimati Radharani's face, Ramananabham. Rama also means one who gives pleasure, and it is Srimati Radharani who gives him the topmost pleasure. Therefore, this word Rama, though it stands for Lakshmi, it appropriately stands for Radharani. Now, actually here, this is the meaning to be understood. Rama Anana Abham means he saw the beauty of Radharani. Imagine how beautiful the moon was, that the moon reminded Krishna of Radharani's moon-like face. And it was like Navakunkuma, fresh kumkum, reddish. Fresh kumkum is reddish in color. Newly ground kumkum is very beautifully reddish. And the moon looked like that. He saw the moon like this. Krishna saw the moon like this. And then he saw the forest. How was the forest? It is described here, Tat komala gobhi ranjitam. The forest was beautified by the soft cooling rays of the moon, and everything around, the ground, the river, the trees, the sand, everything all looked reddish. And the rays are so soft and gentle. So it is mentioned here, Komala Kiran. Initially, when the moon is just rising, the rays are very gentle. They're not strong enough to drive away the darkness. They're very soft and gentle. Therefore, it is called Komal. Actually, the moon rays are never strong. Even if they are in the center of the sky, they are soft. Now, these gentle rays had decorated Vrindavan with its reddish rays. Everything around looked reddish. This is very easy to understand. Nowadays, people do the lightings on the stage. All of you must have seen. Sometimes bright, sometimes yellow, sometimes red, and sometimes green and blue, etc. When the red light is given, then everything on the stage is tinged with red color. This is very easy to understand, isn't it? Similarly, the whole of Vrindavan got tinged with reddish hue due to the reddish rays of the moon. And this is called Anjit. Anjit means alankrit or decorated. Vrindavan was decorated. Seeing such a moon rise, such a moon, and such a decorated Vrindavan, Jagau Kalam Drisham Vama Manoharam, the Lord played the song on his flute. For whom? Why did he sing the song? Vama Drisham Manoharam. Vam means bent or crooked. Krishna is Vam, bent. Sundaram means beautiful. Drisham means eyes. The one whose eyes are very beautiful. It also means the one who looks in a crooked way. That person whose eyes are very beautiful. It also means the one who looks at other beauties, that is the gopis, with crooked eyes, that is coquettish looks. Next we look at the word kalam. Kalam means sweet, and it is not clear. Each and every gopi felt that Krishna is calling us personally by our own very names. He was not just singing any music from the flute, or he was not just singing their names, but he was invoking their names. He was not saying it in clear words, but each and every gopi felt that my name is being invoked. So Vam Drisham Manoharam also means that the minds of these beautiful gopis were captured. Krishna's arrangements were so achintya, inconceivable, that the song which he played at Vamshivat, no one else could hear the song of the flute other than the gopis. Even the deer, the peacocks, etc., who were near to him, they could not hear. Neither the residents of the forest could hear. Then how would the gopas and the others living in Vraj would ever hear? This is the amazing wonder of the song of the flute. He wanted that only the gopis should hear, and only those gopis who are dear to him should hear, not others. Now here in this material world too, people talk on the mobile, and only the person who is meant for can hear, right? If man can do such arrangements, then Lord can definitely call from Vamshivat, and only those who are meant to hear them can hear. Now, what was the kind of the song? Manoharam, that song which captured the minds, the man of the gopis. This is the greatness of the Lord. In this material world, you sing and you want only one person should hear and not the others. That's not possible. But with Krishna, Kalam Geetam, he would sing, and only those who are meant to hear would hear the song. Kalam Geetam. Sometimes the Vaishnava Acharyas wonder what song Krishna would have sung. Oh, if at all it would have been recorded, we could hear it. Such a sweet mother song. Sometimes they would wish like that. That song had only one purpose, and the purpose was to call his dear ones to the forest. Therefore the word Vamshi Priya Sakhi is used. It is a Vamshi who does the role of messenger and calls his dear gopis. Now he is leaving it to the devotees to mentally meditate on how enchanting that song would have been. Kalam. Kal means sweet. The song he was singing was very, very, very sweet and very enchanting, in such a way that the gopis felt like they were being pulled and dragged by a rope towards him. That was the way the flute was played. Now once, Nandadasji is a devotee of Krishna, and he had a brother who was Tulsidasji, who was a devotee of Lord Ram. So once Tulsidasji asks a question to Nandadasji, what was lacking in Lord Ram that you ran towards Bamsiwale? You belong to this area of Chitrakut. What was the need to run after this Bamsiwala? So to this question, Nandadasji replied in a very poetic expression. There is a pad on this, and the meaning of that poetic expression is that he says, Lord Ram had that Dhanush Baan, that is the bow and the arrow, which did not have any voice. But Krishna had that Bansuri, hearing its melody, my mind ran towards him. So this is a very beautiful poetic expression. Now this is Venu Madhuri. Rupa Goswami mentions about this Venu Madhuri. There is this Venu Madhuri is not there either with Lord Ram nor with Lord Vishnu. They have Gada, Dhanush, Chakra, etc., etc., which they keep using. But Geet, that is song, is only with Krishna. Only Krishna has Adbhut Geet, Adbhut Nritya, and that is wonderful music and wonderful dance. Just on this wonderful song and dance, there are lakhs and lakhs of poetic expressions. So in Rasa Leela, the flute plays the most important role.